Good morning. I've really loved spending time with you and your church today throughout the past few days. So, thank you again for the opportunity. If we could pray one more time and just ready our hearts to be changed by the Word of God. And as also what I'd like to do, if you could just place a hand on the shoulder of the brother or sister next to you and pray for them and ask that God would change their lives today, this morning, and throughout this day as well. So let's spend a few moments right now and just bless each other with that prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time where we can set aside our regular schedules to really just seek after you throughout this retreat. And I thank you for the opportunities you have given to us to share, to pray, to hear, to respond, to worship, and to trust again your good hand and sovereign hand in our lives. And I pray for continual protection over Pastor Andrew and his family and this church and its leadership, and that you would take this ministry from strength to strength, glory to glory, all to the glory of your name, that it would be a catalyst of change, of kingdom building relationships that are formed in and through this church, so that the city of Jakarta and the surrounding areas and this nation of Indonesia would never be the same again. But as the months go by, as the years go by, your kingdom would continue to spread in power, bringing healing, salvation, and hope to those who have yet to know Christ. So we also, with faith and expectation, expect great things from our great God today, because we have gathered in your name to sing your praises and to hear your word. So change our lives today, and let that be a catalyst of change for our families, our workplace, our communities, and this nation. So speak to us now, Lord. We are listening. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Happy New Year again. And, you know, it's this time of the year that new gym memberships make most of their money. You know, you see, there's a reason why many gyms only allow you to sign up for one full year memberships, because they know how lazy we can become. If we can only pay by the month, they would make all their money just in January and would probably become bankrupt for the rest of the year. You know, food and diet are two of the more popular New Year's resolutions that people make at the beginning of each year. And I think for Christians, probably the number one resolution is to read through the whole Bible, right? And that is why Genesis is the most read book of the Bible for most Christians. But you know, there's something else that I'd like for you to consider to do for this new year every day. And don't worry, it won't involve exercise or giving up ice cream. And it's simply to say three things to God each day. And I think these are three things that can really bring about a change in your faith, your perspective, and your walk with God each day. Again, they're simple prayers, but I believe that they could also be life-changing prayers as well. So in this new year, I want to guide us through today three things to say to God every day. So you could follow along with me in your outlines. And I want to encourage you to begin practicing these very short and simple but life-changing prayers. And the first thing that I want to encourage you to say to God every day is, God, I thank you. So everyone repeat, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Now, when do we usually say thank you? It's when someone does something kind to you in giving, in saying, or in doing an expression of kindness or goodness to you, we respond with thank you. So when you receive kindness, we respond with thanksgiving. When we receive gifts or when we receive grace, we respond with thanksgiving. So what does Scripture tell us that God gives to us each day? Look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So Lamentations, this book was written during a time of great trouble for Israel. It was written in a time where rebellion, faith, and famine were so bad that mothers even ate their children because of how bad things were. There was so much heartache and unfaithfulness in Israel during this time. And yet, in the midst of so much pain and so much heartache, Jeremiah, the writer of this book, declares that the faithful, strong, steadfast love of the Lord, it never stops, it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And in fact, His love, His pursuing love for His people and His mercies are new each morning. That God is faithful every day to bring the sun, the rain, the food, our heartbeats, the breath that we breathe each moment. That those are the gifts of sustaining faithful grace that God brings over our lives. You know, when you look at a child and you see that he or she is fed every day, clothed every day, bathed every day, protected every day, even though parents may be tired, they're going to make sure the child is fed. Even though they're jet-lagged, they're going to make sure the child has clothes on, right? And that is a small picture of God to us. He makes sure that we are cared for, provided for, and loved. But one key difference with God is that He never grows tired or weary. And He never falls asleep. You know, one of the most precious things in the world is to see a child sleeping. And especially if a parent brings home a newborn baby, so many times you go and just check to see, is the baby breathing, right? And I love watching Enoch sleep, you know, seeing his chest rise up and go down. I love placing my hand on his chest and head as I pray over him as he's sleeping. And I love looking at every curve of his nose and of his cheeks. But a lot of times, you know, after I pray for him, I'll also fall asleep next to him, you know. But the eyes of God are always upon you. As you sleep, He loves seeing your chest rise up and down. He loves seeing the curves of your nose that He created. He watches over you, but He never falls asleep. He never looks away. His eyes are always upon you. And when you wake up, He showers over you with mercy and grace. Buckets of mercy, buckets of grace over and over again over your life. And that is why we can wake up every day and the first words can be, thank you, God. Remember, thanks is a response of receiving kindness. And God pours out His kindness to us every morning. He clothes us and feeds us with grace throughout the day. And He covers over us with mercies as we sleep each night. You see, there are millions of ways that He blesses us each day that we cannot see. And there are millions of ways that He protects us each day that we cannot see. And that is why 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You see, we are commanded to give thanks because God is extending grace and kindness to us always throughout the day. And so for that reason alone, God, I thank you, is the right thing to say each day. You see, every season of our lives is a gift. Your season of singleness
whether you believe it or not, is a gift. Right? It is often called the gift of celibacy, and it doesn't mean that you're never going to get married, but it means at least for this season of your life, that is a gift of singleness that God has given to you. And also there's the gift of marriage, and Scripture teaches us that our spouses are gifts to us as well. But there is one important thing that you need to understand about the season and the gift of that season that you are in. When we are kingdom citizens, the way that we operate in this kingdom and the way that we see the gifts in our lives is different from the ways of this world. What do I mean? You see, in this world, when we receive a gift, we usually assume it's for me. Right? So during Christmas and your birthday, again, it seems normal and natural. When you receive a gift, you realize, oh, this is my gift. It's all for me to do as I please. Right? That's usually how we think of gifts that we receive. But it's different in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, when God gives you a gift, that gift has been given to you, entrusted to you, so that with that gift, you can bless and serve others with that gift. See, let's look at the gifts that God gives to us, right? The gifts of the Spirit, right? If God gives you the gift of teaching, is it for you to just enjoy and do whatever you want by yourself? No. The reason why God has given you the gift of teaching is so that you might bless and build up the body of Christ. When God gives you the gift of encouragement, is it for you to encourage yourself? You could do this, right? I can do this. No. The gift of encouragement is given so that you can bless the body of Christ. And so what we see in Scripture is that gifts are used differently in the kingdom of God. They're given for different reasons in the kingdom of God. So, when God gives you the gift of a spouse in the gift of marriage, again, it's not just so that, okay, now I have a spouse that could serve me and do my bidding and cook for me and give me a massage and it's all for me. No. What we see in Scripture, if that's your attitude, that marriage probably isn't going to last that long, right? It's not going to last very long, right? But the reason why God gives you the gift of marriage is so that you might be a servant to bless and build up your spouse. And in the same way, when God gives you the gift of singleness for a season, whether that season is during college years or your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever it may be, or longer, right? When God gives you the gift of singleness, it is not so that we use the gift like the world uses it. How does the world use the gift of singleness? Hey, I could do whatever I want. It's my time, right? I could take my vacation whenever I want. And hey, I can't serve in the church because, hey, I got a busy social life to take care of. You know, I got a lot of people to meet. I have a lot of friends to maintain. And so now it's vacation time. See you later, church. I'm going to travel throughout Europe. I'm going to do whatever I want with my time because it is my gift of singleness for me. That's the wisdom of the world. But what does Paul teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7? The reason why God has given you the gift of singleness is so that you might, number one, with undivided devotion, you run after the Lord. And number two, you bless and serve and build up the body of Christ. That is the purpose of your season of singleness, of the gift of singleness for that season of your life. Amen? Amen? That took more prodding. But when you understand that the season that you're in is a gift to be used to bless God and to bless His body, we can say thank you, God, for this gift. You know, a pastor that I knew growing up when I was in junior high, he really impacted me. And one thing that really stood out for me is that he would often exhale a prayer of thank you. When we're in the car, when we're driving, he would often, you know, so many times he would just, as we're driving to a different place, he would just say, thank you, God. And I could hear it. It's a small prayer, it's a short prayer, but he would just throughout the time driving, you just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And when we're waiting in line at a restaurant, you would often say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And that left a huge impression on me because it was in a continual state of prayer, but it was a continual state of thanksgiving. And the impression that it made on me was to realize that there's always something in our lives for us to give thanks for. And so as we begin this new year, I want to encourage you to begin cultivating a heart of thanksgiving by realizing that everything is grace, that we are living, basking in grace. Millions of gifts that we cannot see. Millions of ways that God is protecting us that we cannot see on this side of eternity. You see, as you walk throughout your day, you need to understand that God places all of these gifts in our lives. Your path that you're walking on, He is planting so many flowers within your path each day. But the thing about flowers is, yeah, when you pick them, it'll dry. The lifespan of a flower is not very long. And in some ways, you think it's almost a waste. But God is wasteful in His lavish love towards you. And when you begin to understand that, you will realize that as you journal, as you reflect upon that day, the wise person will pick those flowers that God has placed in your life. That encouraging phone call, that encouraging email, that blessed meal that you had with a friend of yours. You begin journaling and picking those flowers that God has placed in your life throughout the day, you preserve them with thanksgiving, and you realize, as you look back upon that journal, man, God has been lavish with His grace in my life each day. So that's an important prayer to always honor God with each day, and that is, God, thank you. And another thing to begin practicing saying to God each day would be, God, I trust you. So everyone repeat, God, I trust you. So we say, God, I thank you, because we are growing in our awareness that His gifts, His kindness, His grace surrounds us each day. And we say to God, God, I trust you, because life will always be filled with challenges to our faith. Satan will always seek to attack your faith in Christ. The enemy will always seek to shake your faith and trust in Christ. So in this new year, you can be assured of two things: that God's grace will sustain you, but Satan will always seek to attack you in that place of trusting Him. And so, as we come to understand that the enemy's aim is to seek to break your trust in God, one of the things that we need to do each day is to have a heart of faith that will trust Him no matter what comes our way. Look at Matthew 18, verse 3 and 4. And He said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus says, unless our faith becomes like that of a child, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So this childlike faith is so important, only the saved truly have it. And this kind of faith is so important, Jesus says, people with this kind of faith, childlike faith, will be the greatest in heaven. Now, what kind of faith is it? It is a faith that will completely trust and follow our Father in heaven. You know, when I take my son Enoch out for a walk, he has no idea where we're going. But as long as he's holding my hand, he's going to follow me anyway. Why? Because he trusts me. That is the faith of a child. But when God wants to hold our hand and take us on a journey, we're like, hey, where are we going, right? We're like, we're saying, hey, God, show me the destination, show me everything first, and then I'll think about it, right? Then I'll give you my opinion on whether we're going to go on this journey or not, right? But God says, trust me, hold my hand, walk with me. One of the things that sometimes we forget or don't realize is that when God called Abraham, go, leave your country, your family, your people, God initially never told Abraham where he was going. God simply said to Abraham, go, leave your comfort zone and follow where I'm going to lead you. And he left, and he was honored for his faith. And also, you know, when I would feed Enoch when he was younger, you know, I'd say, ah, and he would always open up his mouth and he'd eat whatever is in the spoon. That's trust, right? How many of you guys would just believe, hey, just open your mouth. Why? Just open it. I'm going to put something in. Show me first, right? I want to see. Is it gluten-free, right? Is there too much sugar? Is there too many carbs? We have so many. Don't you know I've got allergies? So we need to make sure that we know and are in control of what God gives to us. But you know what? God does know your allergies, your fears, your worries. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you need. But this is another key thing. He knows what areas of your life, character, and faith you need to grow in. And so he will take you to places and he will put you in circumstances that will deepen your faith, increase your trust, but also increase Christ-likeness in you. So he will place you in circumstances that will cause you to trust him and that will allow him to form Christ in you. So no matter what comes your way, learn to say, God, I trust you through this. You know, when I was in high school, one of the things that I did with my baby cousin, once he started to learn how to stand, was I would often put him on a table and, you know, just have him jump into my arms, right? And so initially I'd be right next to him, and then he would jump, and he'd be like, yay, and then he'd have fun, and then I'd take a step back, and cousin's name was Stephen, and so I'd be like, come on, Steve, jump, jump. And then he would jump. But as I would get a little bit further back, I mean, he would get a little bit more timid. As he's on the edge of the table, he'd kind of look down and then look at me and look down. And then there was a certain point where he's like, right? It's like, you're asking me to jump the Grand Canyon, right? I'm not doing that, right? Because for him, in his baby mind, this is the Grand Canyon. And so I'd have to get a little bit closer, and then he would look at me, look at my arms, jump. And then once I would catch him, you know, he'd be like, ah, it was so fun. And then as I would do this, I really liked it because as I would get a lot further when his parents aren't looking, because they would freak out, right? I'd get further back and I'd say, come on, jump, jump. And then he would jump. And I loved it because it really was him trusting me. Because even though in his brain he's jumping the Grand Canyon, he began to trust that those arms are going to catch him. And so there are times in our lives that God will ask you to jump. And in our mind, it's like, God, you're asking me to jump the Grand Canyon. But as long as your arms are outstretched, I'm going to trust you. And that is the heart of childlike faith. That sometimes it's going to be scary. It's going to be crazy sometimes. But if God is leading you to it, we're going to respond with a prayer. God, I trust you. John 14 says this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And other translations say, trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. And where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And you know what Jesus just told his disciples before this? He's told his disciples, you know, I'm going to die, but I'm going to be raised. I'm going to go back to heaven, and when the Holy Spirit's come, he's going to be your helper. But he will also he also reminds them that that they're going to face a lot of hardship and trouble in this world. But through it all, he's saying that no matter how hard life gets, trust me. Because I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to prepare your eternal home, and I'm going to come back one day and take you home.
And so what he's reminding his disciples is that even though you're going to go through hardship in this world, this is all temporary. And everything that comes our way comes through his filtered hand. He's saying, I have allowed it all to happen so that it will deepen your faith and makes you trust me and will allow you to be more like Jesus. Therefore, see all of life through this eternal lens of faith. All trials are temporary. And every act of faith will one day bring blessings that will be rewarded forever. Jesus is coming back one day to take us home, so trust him as you wait. So a powerful prayer to pray each day that will build your faith and be a mighty blow to the enemy is to say, God, I trust you. No matter what comes my way today, God, I trust you. No matter what surprises will come today, I trust you. No matter what comes my way, I will trust God and obey. That is a powerful prayer that will build your faith and be a blow to what the enemy seeks to do to your faith. Amen? And a third thing to say to God each day is, God, I love you. So everyone say, God, I love you. So God, thank you, right? Everything is gift. Teach your heart and your faith to believe that God is good all the time, that God surrounds your life with grace. So you get in the habit of praying this each day. God, thank you. Thank you, God. And God, I trust you. When surprises happen, when difficulties happen, God, I trust you. I'm not sure why this happened. I don't like that this happened, but God, I trust you. And the third thing is, God, I love you. You know, one thing that every parent loves to hear from their child is, God, is, you know, mommy, daddy, I love you. But the motive of our love for God is grounded in Christ's love for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who might live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So our love stems from Christ's love to us, displayed through his death on the cross for our sins. So 2 Corinthians, it tells us that because Christ died for us, we will live for him. He loved us enough to die for us, and therefore we love him enough to live for him. So the motive of it all is out of love for Christ. You see, what we need to understand is that all that God does towards us is an expression of his love. Do you believe that? You see, what the enemy will seek to thwart is a heart that will believe that God is either in control or that God is good and loving towards us at all times. All of Scripture is a love letter expressing his love for you. If you don't believe me, Isaiah 43:4 says, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. So God says to us each day, I love you. I love you so much. The truth of that is significant. Let me explain. You know, usually when I say, you know, I say I love you to my son Enoch a lot, obviously. And usually he will say, I love you, but not all the time. Let me share with you what I mean. So sometimes when he's preoccupied by his passion, and that is cars, he loves playing with cars. And so sometimes when he's preoccupied by playing with cars, and I'll say, Enoch, I love you, sometimes he'll say, okay. You know? Or sometimes he'll say, I know, right? Now, why is that funny or even strange? And again, guys, just word of advice, when Your girlfriend or your spouse says, I love you, you do not reply with, okay. And you are not Han Solo, so you say, I know, okay? Now, why is it strange? It is strange because love expressed usually it demands a reciprocal response, right? It is only right and proper when someone says, I love you, that you say, I love you back. Because let's say you like, you know, okay, guys, let's say you like this girl, right? And then you finally have, you know, the courage to ask her out. You kind of are dating, whatever, and then you call your girlfriend. And then you're like, hey, you're talking about your day. How's your day? Da, da, da. And at the end of the conversation, you're like, I love you. And then there's nothing. You're like, hello? Hello? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm here. It's like, I think the connection was kind of bad. And I'm not sure. Hey, what do you say? I love you. There's still silence. You're like, hello? Hello? Oh, yeah, I'm here. It's like, it's kind of weird, right? And you're like, okay, I think there's a bad connection. I'll talk to you later, right? It's a little bit awkward. You're not sure how to gauge that. But let's say it's in person, right? You're in front of her. You say, I love you. She just looks at you. You're going to feel like a loser, right? Why? Because the proper response to an expression of love is love back. But here's the thing. When love expressed is not reciprocated, it's actually a form of rejection. Right? And so that principle is important for us to understand, because what we need to realize is that God says to you each day, throughout the day, I love you. Through His word, He says, I love you. Right? Through the breeze that makes you close your eyes and appreciate the beauty of this country, He's saying, I love you. He says, I love you through the gifts of family and friends. And for some of you, through the gifts of food, right? Through the love languages that you have. Those love languages were written in your heart by God. And He is the only one who can meet every love language need that you have. And He says, I love you every day through the cross that brought you freedom, forgiveness, and grace by which you walk and bask in each day. He says, I love you each day because He is your Father in heaven and you are His child. And so the proper response is for us to say back to Him, I love you too. Amen? And that is why one of the things that we need to learn to say as a good habit, not out of ritual, not out of legalistic duty, but there are bad habits that we have, and there are good habits we need to develop. And a good habit to develop for our faith is to be able to say each day, to breathe back to God in prayer, I love you too. Because He has already spoken love to you today. And even through the word this morning, even through the word right now, through this message, I am an echo of God's heart to you, of God our Father saying to you, His precious child, don't forget I love you. Don't ever lose the fact that I love you. I love you. I love you. So that is why for us to breathe back to God, I love you too, is the proper response. So God, I thank you because everything is grace. God, I trust you because you are good. You are sovereign. You are in control. And God, I love you because you have first loved me. Those three simple prayers will deepen your faith, strengthen your trust, and allow you to handle all that will come your way in this new year in a way that will make you more like Christ and allow you to trust Christ more with each passing day. Amen? So let's begin this in this new year. Let's pray. So can we do that right now in the place of prayer? Can we express back to God, thank you. Can we express back to God, I trust you. No matter what you allow through your filtered grace into my life this year, I trust you. Father in heaven, I love you too, because you have first loved me. Can you spend a few moments developing that good habit of praying these three simple prayers in this new year? Thank you. I trust you. I love you. Let's pray.